Hello, hello. Welcome into the Patriots Podcast, the Week 17 Recap Edition. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
The season is over.
The season is officially over. The Patriots season isn't over, but it's crazy.
Regular season is over. I feel like this is the fastest one I've experienced.
Maybe it's because we're getting older. I don't know.
Don't say that. We're forever young here on the Patriots Podcast, but
I don't think so.
The Pats finished with their best record since 2010, right? 14-2.
Wow. When you put it like that. Jesus.
Yeah, pretty good. And considering we've been to the AFC Championship five consecutive seasons, and this is the best regular season record yet.
It's looking good. Yeah, it's looking good. But as of 2010, like you just said, I'm sure you know, and most of the audience knows, whoever is listening, that in 2010, we were 14-2. We had like an unbeatable offense between Gronk and Hernandez and Woodhead and whoever the hell else was still there, Edelman.
Nope.
Edelman was there. West was still there. West.
Deion Branch.
Yeah, so pretty stacked. And the Jets beat us by a touchdown, I believe.
Yeah, a month after we beat them 45-3.
Right. So we have to keep our, you know, keep our heads on and our pants on and everything and not go nuts. But yes, yeah. It is very encouraging. It's a very encouraging way to end the season, as we'll talk about. Very encouraging going forward for whatever's left of the season. But we've been in the same situation, and it didn't go as planned. So,
yeah, anything can happen from here on out.
Yeah.
And anybody who remembers that 2010 season remembers that the Patriots were overwhelming favorites to win the Super Bowl that year. Like,
yeah,
unbelievably overwhelming. That was the year that the Packers ended up winning, and the Packers, like, snuck into the playoffs at the end.
Yeah, they were, like, the sixth seed?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, crazy.
So anything can happen. Everyone knows that. But on Sunday, the Patriots took care of business against the Dolphins in Miami for the first time in like 4 years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think it was like 2012, the last time we won down there.
Wow.
And this is a game we needed to win to lock up home field advantage. At least we thought so. And then the Raiders lost, so it didn't matter.
Yep.
But at least we did what we needed to do and took things in our own hands. And the Pats jumped out to a 14-0 lead in the first two possessions of the game. And then right after that, Matt Moore throws an interception. We get a field goal. And then they punt it. And then we get a field goal. It was 20-0 after our first four possessions.
Pretty impressive.
Boom, 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 boom. Just like that. Brady looked on point. We were converting third downs. We were preventing them from converting third downs. Punching the ball in the end zone. Michael Floyd with the effort of the day on that
hell
touchdown
of a block.
Catch.
Holy shit.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, the touchdown catch.
Touchdown catch.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you said Michael Floyd. I immediately thought about it. That was a really good play, too. He really tried to get in there. It took a few guys to get him down, and he broke the plane. So
he dragged like six dudes.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, solid for him. And then we'll get to that, his other highlight reel play, a little later on. But right off the bat, the defense was smothering Jay Ajayi, which we knew was going to be key. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Butler was on Jarvis Landry a fair amount, but we were also playing a good amount of zone.
Yep.
On top of that.
Switching up.
And we had a solid rotation up front. The edge rushers were rotating. Even the linebackers, we were seeing Van Noy. We were seeing a lot of Landon Roberts, especially on early downs.
He's definitely back in favor. He had six tackles, too. Seven tackles.
Dang, pretty good. That doesn't happen if you're not on the field a lot.
Right.
And Ajayi was really limited. He after these first few possessions, he got some more yardage, but he still finished with 59 yards.
That's yeah, it. Nothing.
And then things started to turn at the end of the first half. We get that second field goal. We're up 20-0, and then the Dolphins start to move the ball. This is with like 3 minutes to go. They converted like three or four third downs on this drive, two or three, and they were able to punch it in at the end there. With only like a minute to go, I think. Less than a minute.
Yep.
Jeez, 28 seconds.
Yeah.
28 seconds to go when they get this touchdown. Then their field goal or their kickoff guy shoots it right out of bounds.
Yeah.
Makes
get
it
the ball
nice
at the
and
40.
Easy. No time.
Plus
off
a
the
penalty.
Clock.
Yeah. We got plus a it was a penalty and on the 40.
They were offsides, right?
Yeah. So we got it at like the 50. Then we drove up and Gostkowski made his first mistake in a little while and missed.
Yeah. 52 yarder though.
It's a long one, yeah. Miami Heat, you know, not the easiest thing. I
Did
figured
you try
he would
to do
get
that
it.
With the Miami Heat? Did you try to do that?
No, I didn't. That wasn't intentional. But he, you know, I figured he would make the kick, but, you know, whatever. I didn't think we were going to even have a chance to score there, so the fact that they got in that position was nice.
Yep. Dolphins,
I was going to say on Dolphins scoring drive, you know, once again, you know, everyone's, oh, the, you know, Dolphins finally figured out the defense. We like went into prevent.
Yeah.
We went into prevent and they went into hurry up. And what happens whenever that happens? They score. It's like clockwork. We go into prevent, they're going to score at least, you know, at least a field goal.
Yeah, definitely a field goal at least. They were able to get it all the way.
It's ridiculous that I don't even know why NFL teams go to it. It prevents nothing. It just gives up huge plays, chunk of yards.
Prevents fast touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. Except it always happens in the 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left, and they score regardless. So that's pretty quick. I think that defense should be thrown out and never used again.
Did you hear? I think it was on TV. Somebody was like, well, I think the Dolphins have found something that works. They're going to go with tempo on offense.
Right.
It's like, dude, we were in the prevent. That's
you
why that
see
shit
what
worked.
We just did? We sent three guys and had like 10 guys in coverage. And then on the touchdown pass, there was a breakdown in coverage. Whoever called that play whatever play was called. I don't know if it was the wrong. Van Noy was supposed to have the deep middle. Like, what the hell was that?
Was that the same play?
Wasn't that when they scored that touchdown?
That might have been a different touchdown.
Or was that the second touchdown?
I think that's the second touchdown. The one that was, yeah, because the safeties both went like outside the numbers.
Yeah.
And then Kenny Stills was right down the middle. That was the second touchdown.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was the first one?
The first one was Jarvis Landry. I think he had like a shallow crosser he took in.
Okay. All right. Well, so since you're talking about the second touchdown.
Yeah, first possession of the second half, the Dolphins received, and then they march all the way down, and they just replicate what they just did and get another touchdown. And we went from, that was the big play to Kenny Stills in the slot, yeah, where he just ran right down the seam, and Kyle Van Noy couldn't get enough depth. And who knows if he should have been able to. I mean, that was
stupid. I mean, we can't expect the guy, Kyle Van Noy, a primary pass-rushing linebacker, to cover the deep middle.
Yeah, against Kenny Stills, who's a deep specialist.
4-4, yeah, 4-4, 40 runner. Like, you can't, what the hell is that? I don't
know.
Breakdown.
It's a bad position to be in.
Yeah.
So we started off 20-0, and all of a sudden, it's 20-14, and there's, you know, still 25 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, shit, this What's actually just got serious.
Got real.
And then we get the ball back. We get ourselves into a quick 3rd and 7 after a holding call, and then we narrow it down a little bit. 3rd and 7, Brady throws a slant pass to Edelman. We're like, okay, maybe we can get a first down. And then he just goes
takes
all
off.
The way. It was like takes a 70-yarder.
It was 77 yards or something. And that is when the newly acquired drunk Michael Floyd laid one of the best blocks probably of the year, at least noticeably best blocks. You know what I mean? You can't always see that such a great block. It's not
biggest,
so prevalent.
Biggest.
Biggest blocks, right. And he just laid that dude out.
Yeah, because that's not a hard block to make. It's not like a great block. It's just a big one.
And it's right there.
He killed Tony Lippett. Killed him. And yeah. Edelman did a really sneaky thing. He ran towards Michael Floyd.
Yeah.
Like in basketball, you're supposed to run right off the screen. That's mm-hmm. That's what he did. He ran right off him, and Michael Floyd destroyed Tony Lippett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge play, 77-yard touchdown. All of a sudden, where everything was going against us, now we're up 13 again.
Yep.
Feeling great. Things just kind of moved on like that for a little bit. Later on, we get a fumble. Well, the Dolphins pushed the ball all the way inside our 10-yard line.
Yep, and then McCourty forced a fumble.
And Shay McClellan, man on the spot, picks it up and goes like 60 yards, I think.
Yeah, something. He got it up to 40 or 50.
Oh, he got it well inside that. He got it inside their 20.
Was it that far?
Yeah, he got it all the way to their 18-yard line.
Wow.
And then we just kind of, you know, gave
pushed
it, a blunt,
it in.
Gave yeah. it a blunt a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, pretty much. You got to love it how if you're on within the 5, if you give Blunt the ball 2 or 3 times, he's getting a touchdown.
Yeah, twice.
Like,
probably
he's
twice.
Getting the ball in there. It's awesome. I mean, that's a luxury to have.
I had heard so much talk about him not being a good short yardage back.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, they had stats to prove it. And this year, that's been the complete opposite.
Yep.
Complete opposite. Could be the changes in our offensive line, whatever you want to say. But 18 touchdowns, franchise record, led the NFL. LG's a tough guy to stop at the goal line.
Yes, for sure.
So,
I mean, yeah.
I was just going to, just on the day, I mean, it wasn't an unbelievable performance. It wasn't the same type of thing that we saw against the Jets where we won by like 70.
No, but it didn't. I mean, they took Brady out when?
They took Brady.
Not too early.
Not too early, yeah. It wasn't as nearly as early as it was against the Jets.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, it wasn't like as dominating a performance as you would have hoped for. But when you look at everything, you know, from a far back view, all right, so this is a string last year where we were essentially in the same exact situation. We had the Jets, the Dolphins. We had to beat them both or beat one of them to get home field. We lost to both of them. Flip side of this year, we beat both of them pretty handedly. I mean, Jets, we destroyed them. Miami, like you said, there was about a 2 minute,
or that's really
not
it.
Even,
yeah.
Well, like scare where you were like, maybe this is a game. Is this going to be a shootout? What's going to happen? And then, like you said, we shut them up. Not, I mean, it's in Miami. Like you said, the last time we've had any luck in Miami was years ago. And Brady just, you know, 25 for 33 for three touchdowns, 276 yards. Yeah. Pretty damn good game. Like,
yeah.
It's not like he had a tough go at it. He was kind of – he beat the shit out of him. So,
offensively, we played pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And defensively, outside of really those two drives.
That was it.
That was it. And one of them was in the prevent, like you said.
Yeah. So, overall, I mean, Edelman had by far his best game this year.
Yeah. Thanks in large part to that one
that
catch.
Big play. But, yeah. I mean, still, you know, 8 receptions for 151. Besides that, it would have been 7 for 70-something. You know, that's still pretty positive. Michael Floyd's making an impact. Michael Bennett looked a little healthier to me. You got the other guys in there. Amendola's coming back. Supposedly he's practicing. You know, they just keep building. They keep building. I mean, Hightower didn't play that much this game. He'll probably be going full speed in the playoffs. McCourty has had his string of probably his best string of games in probably 2 years, I would say, since 2014.
Yeah, definitely.
So they're building. You know, it's not like they're kind of running out of gas like we've seen in past years where you want the team to be hot at the end and it doesn't look it. You kind of tell, but you don't want to admit it. This year, I'd say they've just been cruising and there really hasn't been anything stopping them.
100%. Yeah. Even health-wise, the only person they're really missing is Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about Vollmer, but Cannon's been fantastic on the right side. And now with our bye week coming up, we're going to be able to get an extra week of rest for Hightower, for Bennett, for Amendola, who did start practicing today. For Edelman, if he's feeling anything, if Brady's thigh is still bothering him, just everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to go in firing.
Absolutely. I mean, on top of that, like you just talked about Marcus Cannon briefly, we didn't let up a sack to Miami. Cameron Wake is a player who we all know, anyone who watched the Patriots over the years, who, like I said last week, took the role of Jason Taylor for Miami and kind of he kicks the crap out of Brady every so often, and they got no sacks. Brady had a hell of a release this game. He was getting the ball out quick, but you know, we've talked about it and we keep talking about it. The offensive line has gotten better every single game, and they're looking like a pretty damn solid unit at this point. There's a couple holding penalties and stuff like that, but I mean, overall, very impressive.
Yeah, when you play this defense and you give up one quarterback hit, and that's it. And that was that even on? Was that that play that like Cameron Wake suplexed Brady? Did you see?
It could have been
play?
That, or didn't like Brady take off and take off and not slide, and they like hit him a little bit?
Oh, but that doesn't count as a QB hit. That's
you're right. You're right. That right. It could have been. I don't know.
Hilarious, but tremendous protection. And now we go into the playoffs with all kinds of momentum. Almost every team in the AFC is going backwards outside of the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah. So the playoff picture, as everyone probably knows, it's the Dolphins are at the Steelers. That's on Sunday. And the Raiders are at the Texans. So because we're number one seed, we talked about scenarios. We wanted the Chiefs to win. And we wanted the Raiders to lose is exactly what happened. So now the chance, what we're going to do is either play the Dolphins, the Raiders, or the Texans.
In the first round, yeah.
In the first round, guaranteed one of them. Dolphins, Tannehill still isn't practicing. If he doesn't practice by tomorrow, he's not playing against the Steelers. So, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't give the Dolphins much of a chance going to Pittsburgh without Tannehill. Never mind with Tannehill.
Yeah, I'd say almost no chance either way.
Tannehill being back in the lineup, I think gives, in my mind, gives him another 3 to 7 points.
Okay, you know? Maybe three. let's be real conservative with how good we think Ryan Tannehill is.
Okay, fine. And then the Raiders, their situation just got a lot worse. Their backup quarterback has a shoulder issue in his throwing arm. He's not playing. They're on a third string rookie.
Connor Cook, Michigan State.
First time a rookie quarterback has started his first start coming on a playoff game. So ever. That's fucked. Jack Del Rio's pissing his pants, and so is everybody else on the team because nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, this guy could come out and be Dak Prescott, but it's very unlikely.
He's not going to. He could be okay. I mean, one of the real issues last week was they were playing the Broncos defense. And
right.
It doesn't get a whole lot easier against the Texans, but the Texans' offense is garbage. Abysm.
Yeah, they really can't. I mean, well, they benched Osweiler, and then who came in last week?
Tom Savage.
And he did nothing, right?
He got hurt, and Osweiler had to go back in.
Oh, that's what happened. Now Osweiler, that's why Osweiler started. Exactly. I feel like this year, more than any other year in the NFL, we've seen quarterbacks get benched and their backups get hurt immediately.
Talking about Geno Smith?
Yeah, well, just the Jets in general.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets, the Texans now.
I think I gotta be rooting for the Texans solely for Vince Wilfork. That's really good.
Yeah, well, he said he's probably going to retire after this, so could be his last game.
Let's keep it rolling, Vince.
Last game in Gillette, that could be fitting.
That'd be good for him.
But I would much rather see the Raiders at
this
point.
You want to play them?
I wouldn't mind playing them.
Why?
Because they won't score a damn point.
So will the Texans. Texans are in the same spot. The Raiders maybe third best offensive line of football. Derek Carr had the lowest sack percentage of any quarterback in the league this year. It's a great O-line. They got a big-ass running back. They got two stud receivers.
Still, at least the Texans, at least Osweiler has played all season. He knows the offense and how it works. Not to say Connor Cook is just coming in there, but, I mean, he's a rookie that's never played before. In a playoff, what do you think a rookie coming to New England would think for a playoff game?
I know.
Oakland.
I know.
This guy's been playing in 70-degree weather all year, happy, smiling, 60-degree weather. He's going to come here, it's going to be a fucking blizzard on top of playing here.
He played in Michigan.
It is just, it'd be debilitating.
Yeah. The Texans' defense is better than the Raiders, too.
Exactly.
Although Khalil Mack is the best defender between those two teams.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but, regardless of what happens, I don't really care.
I don't really care either, actually.
I mean, who do you pick? Miami, Oakland, or Houston? It's a toss-up. Probably Miami, but still, it's like, are they going to be any better or worse than the Raiders or Texans? Probably. I mean, we shut out Houston, and we just beat the Dolphins
for the second
35-14. So it's all looking pretty good.
It's just going to be a fun weekend to watch football as a Patriot fan, where you could just sit back and be like, I don't really care that much.
Yeah.
Let's just hope for good games.
Absolutely. I mean, then you got some good Lions at Seahawks. Seattle's a pretty good game. Giants at Packers is a hell of a game.
That's the one. That's the big one.
That's the big one. Everyone wants to see that. I mean, I don't know about you, but the AFC, I know obviously because the quarterback's been injured, but it's pretty much a sad state of games for the AFC right now.
Oh, it's garbage.
Yeah. Even next week, I mean, you're only guaranteed for one good game.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's Pittsburgh versus
Kansas City.
If that doesn't happen, I'd be stunned if either Kansas City or the Pats lost. That would be ridiculous.
I know. You look in the NFC, and the quarterback who has the most question marks in the NFC is the quarterback of the number one team. It's Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
He's got, I mean, who? Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford.
That's the thing. I mean, those are the quarterbacks that should be playing.
Yeah.
I keep hearing this argument that the Patriots, I keep reading the paper and shit like that, the Patriots haven't been tested. The Patriots, so we're the number one defense, and everyone keeps shitting on us.
Scoring defense. Number one scoring defense by more than 2 points per game.
More than 2 points per game?
Yeah, I think we finished 34 points ahead of the next team. It's 5 touchdowns.
That's incredible. So, okay, so there's that, and then we're 8th in yards.
Defensively, yeah.
And that's pretty damn good. I mean, I don't think we had the easiest schedule. I don't know how easy our schedule was, but
very easy.
wasn't very easy. I mean, we had to play.
Very easy.
I don't know.
I mean, we got a backup quarterback in Pittsburgh. We got to host Seattle. Still lost. Hosted Cincinnati. I mean, who did we even play? We hosted the Ravens. We went to Denver as they were falling apart. We really didn't play that many teams.
I don't know. Baltimore, you got Denver. We played Buffalo twice. We played Miami twice. Cincinnati. I mean, how many good teams are there in the NFL right now? You can pretty much throw away the AFC South. There's no one there.
Let's put it this way. We played three playoff teams. We got the Texans, the Steelers, and the Seahawks. We got the Steelers with the backup.
And
the
Dolphins.
Other two we played at home. Oh, and the Dolphins. Good call.
And the Dolphins.
Good call.
Okay. Well, who are these other teams that are so good that we missed? Kansas City and Oakland.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
We can the play AFC, them because they sucked last year. That's why Kansas City not so much sucked, but Oakland obviously wasn't that great. And, I mean, the NFC, we could only play four games, and we were playing what was supposed to be the hardest division in football.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't turn out so.
No, it didn't.
So, I mean, the AFC South is – or the NFC South is garbage, you know.
Kind of.
I mean, they were nasty last year. Saints, I don't think were that good. Tampa was okay. Carolina was awful. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta is, you know my thoughts on Atlanta. I mean, sure, they look great now, but when push comes to shove, their defense is just a sieve, and they, for whatever reason, they can't score. I don't know why. I mean, it was the NFC North is good.
We're just going division by division now?
Well, it's just,
I get what you're saying. We didn't miss that many good teams, but even I felt like we didn't face teams at the toughest time. I guess looking back, I thought that hosting the Texans was going to be a real tough game. Obviously, going to Arizona, we all thought was going to be a tough, tough game. It was.
Yeah.
But they didn't turn out to be as good a team as we expected. I thought going to Pittsburgh and going to Buffalo the week after that, when Buffalo was a game behind us.
You were freaking out about Buffalo.
I know. We lost to them.
And we, But I mean,
yes, in hindsight, you can look at it and be like, it wasn't that hard. But as you were going through, there were difficult challenges.
Yeah, I mean, you had to face, what was it? There was a stretch, I remember. Like, you know, it was supposed to be Baltimore, you know, Denver, New York, and Miami was supposed to be a tough stretch. I mean, there was supposed to be a few tough stretches. It didn't work out like that.
Yeah, so, it's because the Jets imploded.
Right. But I mean, my point, I'd like to see the NFL's toughest schedule of playoff teams. You know what? I'm going to Google that and see how hard it really was for them.
How hard somebody's schedule actually was. Guarantee it wasn't the Giants. Guarantee that.
I mean, that's what, and the argument that the defense hasn't been tested, blah, blah, blah. The defense has been kicking the shit out of people.
Yeah, recently they absolutely have.
You know, it's like, okay, if they weren't that good, they wouldn't be leading by 2 points in the yearly average.
2 points per game, yeah.
2 points per game on the, you know.
We were in the 15s, averaging
that's
the 15s.
That's ridiculous. And people are like, oh, it's not a good defense. Well, who do you think's a good defense? The Ravens? Are the Ravens a good defense?
Yes.
What makes them so much better than the Pats?
Star power.
Right, exactly. That's my point. Seattle, what makes their defense so good? They've gotten blown out in a few games.
Yeah. I love that the Pats are the ones that dethroned the Seattle defense. Seattle had set a record by leading the NFL in scoring defense for four consecutive seasons. And they were looking to get a fifth, and they came in third place. And it was because the Patriots ran away with it. And that's just a little icing on top that we were able to take that crown from them.
I mean, and then the thing I think is so funny is everyone's like, oh, well, their defense is unproven. What are the flying, the crazy offenses that we may see in the AFC playoffs?
Pittsburgh. That's
it.
That and, I mean, have you seen this kid, Tyreek?
Tyreek Hill, he's very good, but...
I almost said Tyreek Evans. That's a basketball player. Yeah, Tyreek Hill.
I mean, pretty much you shut him down, you shut Kelce down, they don't have an offense.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck chasing that little shit down.
I know that, but I'm just saying, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like we're facing the greatest show on turf or it's the Steelers from even 2 years ago.
This Steelers offense is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but do you know what their defense is?
I know your feelings on their defense. Everyone knows you don't like their defense. But they still got Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and they just put up like a 30 burger on the Ravens a couple weeks ago when they needed it to put the dagger in the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary offense out there. Luckily, if we were going to play them, we would be able to host them. Going to host everybody in the AFC playoff picture. That makes you feel a little bit better about it. I mean, granted, we were 8-0 on the road this season, only like the fifth team in NFL history to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we were 6-2 at home. But we're like, I don't know. That just seems like a fluke, especially the Bills game that we lost with Jacoby Brissett. And the 6-0.
Well, yeah. I mean, the 8-0 on the road is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to Denver. That's not an easy game. All right, so here you go. I found an article. It was when everyone played 12 games. So there's still 4 games left. It said the easiest schedule remaining. Guess who's number one?
Easiest schedule? That's only 4 games. Who gives a fuck?
Well, still. Pittsburgh.
No, it doesn't matter.
Pittsburgh was number one.
That's a quarter of the season. Shut up.
Look at their division.
I know. It should have been a very good division, and it wasn't. I mean,
it was horrible.
God, the Browns. Did the Browns win again? They didn't, right?
I don't think so.
I think they lost in overtime to the Steelers. I think that's what happened. That was funny. They took them all the way to overtime. Pittsburgh won.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, everybody in Cleveland upstairs was like, don't win this game. You're going to cost us the number one overall pick. I'd be so mad if my team won in overtime, so we lose the number one overall pick. And then, like, the transcendent player goes off to San Francisco. Be livid. But luckily Pittsburgh was able to take care of that.
I think I found something here.
Okay.
New England, we were tied in 9th for the easiest strength of schedule.
Okay.
Atlanta was the tied number one. Seattle was tied 5th. And then it's us. So Atlanta and Seattle had the easiest schedules.
I think, easiest schedules? Is that difficult schedule?
Easiest.
Oh, the Atlanta. Wow, you were right.
I think. Let me just double check here.
Are you sure?
I'm sorry. What the hell? I can't figure out how this thing. Strength of schedule figures based on opponent's winning percentage. Okay, vice versa. We are the 3rd hardest playoff team.
So.
So there you go.
Okay. I think what we were trying to get at before was that we hosted most of the difficult games at home. So that makes it easier. And also, we caught a bunch of backup quarterbacks.
Mm.
That's why people were saying it was a lot easier.
Okay, here's some stuff.
On this podcast no more than 2 weeks ago spewing about how easy Atlanta's schedule was. Meanwhile, they had the most difficult schedule in the NFL.
Well,
that's a loud silence.
Comparatively,
that's what I'm hearing.
Comparatively, I thought it was easy, but I guess everyone else had it easier. Here you go. Green Bay, their average opponents were 117 and 139.
I think
less than 500.
We're really beating this thing into the ground here.
Oh, yeah. The Giants. Less than 500. Detroit, less than 500. Dallas, less than 500. Who else we got here? Pittsburgh, 121 and 135.
Because they played
good.
The Browns twice.
Oh,
yeah. It totally skews
sure.
everything, doesn't it?
And you the good old that Patriots, wouldn't. Toughest. You want me to look it up? Here it is. The Patriots, the 3rd toughest schedule in the NFL. So all those people who are saying.
I think you said 3rd toughest of playoff teams.
3rd toughest of playoff. That's what I mean. Sorry.
There you
third
go.
Toughest is a playoff team.
Those
teams.
Are different things.
Errors are different things. But for all those people saying that all these other teams have played all these difficult schedules and they all had to jump through hoops to make the playoffs, all kinds of shit, we had tougher than all of them, except for Atlanta and Seattle. So they can all go screw.
And there's a strong bias here because you watch this team dominate so often, and then you're like, but those guys actually weren't very good. So you'll see like the Ravens come in and we handle them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this perception. It's like, but we didn't really. I mean, the Ravens weren't good. Why did we think that we played any good teams? Because we handle these teams so easily.
Right.
Your perception of the strength of the opponents gets warped in relation to the rest of the NFL.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's a perfect example. The Ravens, we were all worried about. I mean, they were leading the division. They were a playoff team at the time we played them.
Yep.
They were in the playoffs. And we beat them up, and that was it. Funny enough, did you see the thing about Steve Smith? Steve Smith Sr.
You're Baltimore. Dropping the senior now.
Well, you know, there's so many Steve Smiths in the league. But he was, they had him on a radio or a podcast or whatever. He was talking, you know, he recently retired. So they were asking him some stuff and he can finally talk about it. And they were basically asking him who had the best chance or who did he like the most. And he said, as much as he hates to say it, he was pretty impressed by the Patriots when he played them. He said, from a coaching standpoint and a staff standpoint, they know exactly what's going on and how to prepare their team and find the right guys at the right positions and all that stuff. And he was saying that when they were on the field, you know, he'd be running a dig route or whatever. And, you know, three defensive players would be pointing at him, watch the dig route, watch the dig route. And he was like, there's nothing more demoralizing to a receiver as to when the defense knows exactly what you're doing.
Pretty good.
So he was pretty adamant about the Patriots and went into talking about them just a little bit. So that was, you know, kind of cool, especially, you know, everyone respects Steve Smith. He's been in the league for so long. For him to say that, he's played Pittsburgh, he's played New England, you know, they played a few of those teams that are playing, you know, in the playoffs. So pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good perspective to have. Steve Smith Sr. Listen to you. Hey, don't go around saying it's certain that he's retired. He only said 89%.
Yeah, oh, did he?
He's 89% sure he's going to get retired.
Yeah.
Where he picked that number from.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve Smith, the man who began his career by losing a Super Bowl to these very Patriots.
Exactly. So he hates us.
Yeah, he 100% hates us. That's nice to know. This weekend, do you have a strong feeling about any of these games? I guess the only one, the NFC games, I feel like both home teams are going to win. I mean, is Detroit going to go into Seattle?
I would love it for them to go into Seattle.
I would love it too.
Oh, I would love it. But I still haven't seen enough of the Lions to really know what the hell they can even do. But like you said, I mean, they had, what, 9 fourth quarter comebacks?
Yeah, Matt Stafford led the league in it.
But, I mean, that's the way Seattle's been playing recently, is tight, close games, and whoever gets lucky kind of wins at the end there. So Lions may have a chance. But, yeah, I think it's going to go to Seattle.
The thing about Seattle is they have, yeah, eight comebacks for Matt Stafford this season.
Okay.
Eight game-winning drives. thing about Seattle is that their offensive line is a sieve. And, I mean, Ziggy Ansah hasn't played as well this season. He's been a little banged up. But if that Lions defensive line can take advantage, I mean, you can ruin a game that way.
Absolutely.
We've seen it so many times throughout the playoffs in the last decade.
Yeah. Pass rush really takes over in the playoffs. So, yeah, that's definitely a good point to watch. I mean, the Giants, the Packers, I honestly have no idea what to think about this game.
I got to lean Packers. I think the Giants got exposed against the Redskins.
Yeah, and they lost. Was it the Redskins they lost? No, who was the game 2 weeks ago they lost on Thursday night?
Oh, no. They lost to the Eagles. That's
the Eagles.
And then they stood up to the Redskins this week.
They barely, they screwed the Redskins.
I know. Well, the Redskins couldn't beat them.
I know.
At home.
The Redskins. And it was pretty fun. Didn't the Giants had almost nothing to play for?
They didn't have almost nothing to play for. They had absolutely nothing to play for.
And Eli played the whole game.
I know, because they just wanted to fuck with them.
That's awesome that they really just screwed it. I mean, it is pretty good. Props to them for seeing a rival out there and saying, you know what?
Wouldn't
it be nice just to fuck with them?
Yeah, that's so bad.
Screw their schedule. And if they didn't do it, it would have been kind of a demoralizing loss. But the fact that they did do it just adds momentum to them. The Giants in the playoffs can be freaky, man. They can be a little scary.
They can get some shit done.
And Packers have not played well at Lambeau Field this year, from the games I've seen, at least.
I feel like they just beat somebody pretty handily. Oh, no. They were in Detroit when they beat the Lions.
Yep.
Yeah, but Packers have been, I mean, it's a 6-game winning streak. They're the hottest team in the league.
Yeah, I guess they are. Maybe
it's a tough call.
I'll take the Pack. For the AFC teams, I guess Houston against Oakland? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to think there either.
It's like two pretty bad teams at this point. I mean, not that Oakland's bad, but when you lose your star quarterback, and as we said, have a rookie now, you're not considered the best anymore by any means. And Houston, we all know that they have a good defense, and then Brock Osweiler was a $17 million mistake.
18.
18, I'm sorry.
18 for 4 consecutive seasons.
Well, they're going to cut. How much guaranteed does he have?
I think he's got like the whole next year guaranteed. So,
another 18. God.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we all laugh about Revis's guaranteed money. Osweiler got the same or more.
Yeah.
Guaranteed money.
That GM's getting fired. And if he doesn't, the owner should fucking sell the team.
Bob McNair's not selling that team. He worked for decades to get a team in Houston.
Yeah, no, I know.
And still, I just overstated that. Probably like 5 years.
This guy should get fired. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's a bad contract. But
that's as bad as it gets.
He can fix it all by acquiring Tony Romo in the offseason.
Yeah.
I'm calling it. Romo to the Texans.
So?
It's happening.
That's not a bad idea to keep him in Texas. And then the Dolphins at Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Pittsburgh loses this, yeah, that's pretty sad.
It has to be. I mean,
right?
I don't even know. It would take two special teams touchdowns for the Dolphins to win this game.
You think so?
Well, two special teams or defensive touchdowns. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Two.
Yeah, something like that. I just don't. I can't fathom the Dolphins being able to pull this one off.
Because it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
Do you know that the Patriots, the point differential this season means the points we scored minus the points we gave up?
Yeah.
191.
Is that like a record or something?
I don't think so. But 191. Should. That's like...
So plus 191.
Yeah, that's 12 points a game. We averaged, on just across the board, we averaged winning all 16 games by 12 points. Like, that's what that point differential means.
Gotta love it.
Woo! And the Browns, minus 188. We were better than the Browns were shitty.
That's great. That is so good.
Pretty unbelievable.
Pretty incredible.
14-2. The Pats went 14-2 in 03, 04. They won 16 games in 07, and then 14-2 in 2010, and then here we are again.
It's pretty impressive they pulled off that many 14-2 seasons.
14-plus win seasons, yeah.
Yeah, 14-plus.
We're what, like third in the NFL in scoring offense, I believe? Third in scoring offense, first in scoring defense. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the Panthers from last year, who were first in scoring offense, and I think they were fifth in scoring defense.
Were they?
But they had a similarly dominant season, and we saw what happened in the playoffs. I mean, that shit happens. You have a bad day. You meet the wrong opponent.
Well, that's what it was. They dominated throughout the playoffs last year. It was just when they when they met Denver, it was just Cam Newton couldn't do anything.
I know, and so we got to be aware of that. We can't be overly confident. Not that I'm saying that as fans we really have an impact on what's going to be happening.
Yeah,
but
I mean, even in this, okay, from that standpoint, in this playoff race. I mean, how many teams even frighten you that much? I mean, maybe
all
Kansas
the NFC
City?
Teams.
Really? I don't. All the NFC teams frighten you.
Well, the Giants do. The Packers do. The Cowboys do.
The Packers really don't frighten me. The Seahawks don't anymore.
The Seahawks do as well. Okay, so that's 4 out of 6.
I see. I'm not on the same. I mean, maybe two teams.
Yeah.
But it's not even like those two teams. It's not like think of how good Denver was playing last year. No one could touch their defense.
Right.
No one. You couldn't score more than 10. If you were playing that team, if you scored more than 14 points, it was pretty impressive.
I don't think scored 18.
Right. And I don't think any team in the playoffs right now, you know, is that frightening. Maybe Kansas City's defense. Maybe. The Giants' defense is pretty good. But like you said, they've kind of been exposed a little bit. Packers are on a winning streak. But, I mean, I can't get that those games I saw earlier in the season out of my head of them, so maybe that's that. And then, like you said, Seattle's offensive line is just a glaring weakness.
Yeah, but they probably have the best defense.
Yeah, they probably have the best defense, but if they can't score, well, they scored 31 against us, so who knows. But
That was before we turned the corner.
That's true. That was before we turned the corner, and we were only lost by what?
Without Jamie.
We lost 4 points or something? By 4 points or a touchdown?
3 or 4, something like that.
I mean, Dallas, you got to give them credit, but it's their two star players are rookies.
I don't know how their defense is overachieving so much.
Yeah, and their defense isn't even that good.
It's not that good. How are
it's
they doing
good.
So well?
I don't know. So you got that. The Falcons, Matt Ryan's putting up all kinds of points, but their defense is pretty bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a
pretty
bad defense.
So there you go. You know, I mean... You don't. I think we're that team that everyone's scared shitless of. Hopefully, we don't have to play the Pats. I mean, who else is there? Maybe the Giants, just because of the history with them. If we didn't have that history with them, I wouldn't give a shit about the Giants.
I know.
You know, like if we didn't lose those two Super Bowls to them, I wouldn't give a flying fuck about this Giants team. I'd say, yeah, sure. have Eli come at us, but he seems to be our kryptonite in some respect.
The Cowboys are sitting at 5th in points for and 5th in points against. Very balanced.
That's pretty good. How are they? They're the 5th points scoring defense?
Yeah.
Wow.
14th in total defense. But that's how are they that good?
I can't believe, who do they even have?
Can't explain it. Cannot explain it one little bit.
Dak Prescott is just like Jesus Christ himself over there, making everyone play better.
Randy Gregory is now their best pass rusher, and he's on like his third game in a season. I mean, they haven't really had anybody. Who do they have?
I don't know. I don't know how they're playing so good. I don't know what's going on.
They got Sean Lee. Sean Lee's a stud.
He's good.
Morris Claiborne was playing well before. I think he got hurt. Brandon Carr has been playing well. Byron Jones is a guy I really like. He's
a good player.
He had a good game against Gronk last season.
Yeah, he's definitely a good player. Yeah, some teams I was excited that didn't make the playoffs. I think we mentioned it before, but the Colts and the Ravens, after spilling the beans or pointing the finger or however you want to call it on Deflategate, haven't made the playoffs in 2 years.
Ah,
karma's a bitch.
The Deflategate curse. What if it continues? I would love it
a 10-year thing where they just, like, Andrew Luck doesn't see the playoffs until he's, like, 38.
I feel bad. I like Andrew Luck.
Oh, fuck him. You know, it's like they play, you know, what's his name? Pagano sitting over there today interviewed you. Oh, I have the best quarterback in the league, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, you didn't make the playoffs. How many of the best quarterbacks in the league haven't made the playoffs in consecutive years?
In the worst division in football.
In the worst of it. Thank you. In the worst division in football.
Yeah.
I don't think any. I mean, Aaron Rodgers did they miss the playoffs last year?
Did they? I don't think so.
I thought they did. In one of the last 2 years, he missed it.
No, they went 10-6 last year and made the playoffs.
So maybe 2 years ago they didn't make? There was 1 year he didn't make it. So
2 years ago they definitely did, because that was when they played the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game.
Okay. So there you go. Maybe he never missed the playoffs. I don't know. I can't think of any. Roethlisberger, when's the last time he didn't make the playoffs? When he was injured. So that doesn't count.
I know. Yeah. Good quarterbacks make the playoffs. That's why Drew Brees is, I don't know.
Exactly. Like, you can throw for 1 million yards, but you can't win.
He's had a historically bad defense for the last 5 years.
Well, that isn't necessarily his fault, but maybe if he took a little less money, it would lessen the burden.
Now we're talking. Drew Brees went for 5,000 yards again.
Again. Yeah, I'm literally looking at the right. 37 touchdowns, 15 interceptions.
He's gone over 5,000 yards more than all other quarterbacks combined.
Oh, by the way, we didn't even mention it, that Brady has now the best touchdown or interception ratio in NFL history.
Yeah, he wrestled that record away from Nick Foles.
Yeah, 28-2. That's pretty ridiculous, though.
It is.
I don't know how Nick Foles did that.
Me neither. 27-2 for Nick Foles.
When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, I remember that. Nick Foles just got cut this year. What a coincidence. And then you got, and the Patriots in total are the lowest, least interceptions and least turnovers too?
Least turnovers in the league, least interceptions in NFL history.
That's insane. So there you go.
By a lot.
Yeah.
I think, like, the record was 5, and we had 2.
And the, can you imagine? The funny thing is the 2 interceptions that Brady threw were, like, off. Like, it wasn't like he just, like, threw it and didn't know where it was going. He just kind of got a little freaked out and tossed it up. It wasn't like these, you know, somebody made a good play or something, like, you know what I mean?
The first one was he hucked up against the Seahawks.
The second one is he hucked up against the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. They were both just deep passes.
Deep bombs in double coverage where he kind of was just like, fuck this. I'm just throwing it. I want to throw it. It's not like defenses made good plays and outsmarted him or something like that. It was just kind of, you know, he threw it into double coverage and the guy didn't come down with it.
Well,
so
got pretty lucky. Usually there's like a few tip ball interceptions.
Yeah, that's usually true. So, I mean, that's a crazy stat. So that's got some momentum that they're going for. And Brady, I'm sure, is real pumped about that he's been able to handle that. So it's going to be interesting. See what happens.
We will see what happens. Yeah. For the end of the season here, we got some stats. I mentioned LeGarrette Blount led the league in rushing touchdowns. Everybody knew that.
Mm-hmm.
We had Julian Edelman, who was near the top of the league in receptions. He finished 4th with 98.
Wow.
Behind Larry Fitz, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and then Edelman. Edelman, over the last I guess basically since Gronkowski went out, he has stepped up so much. He just won AFC Offensive Player of the Week. It's the first time a Patriots receiver has won that since Randy Moss, which is, you know, back to 2010 or further. He's done everything we asked of him, and we spent a fair amount of time at the beginning of the season talking about how he's playing okay, but he wasn't playing as well as we had hoped.
He wasn't in his normal self, it seemed. We weren't sure if it was the injuries or whatever, but
now he is.
The last 6-7 games, however long it's been, he's been him.
He's been everything you could have asked of him.
Yeah.
And he's returning punts now too, but I mean not returning them as much as fair catching them.
Right.
But he's been terrific for us, and they have a stat on here, safeties. Who had the most safeties in the league?
Hightower?
Tied for first. Nobody had more than one safety.
Didn't he have two?
He had one, and Malcolm Brown had one.
Oh.
Yeah. Malcolm Brown, I think that was against the Ravens.
How many people are on that list?
Like 8.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to take a look at it.
Yep. Sacks-wise, it was pretty dispersed. He had Trey Flowers. He had 7. And he only played, what did we say? He started maybe half the games.
Yeah, you could say that. He really stepped up around seven, the Seattle week 8 game. Yeah.
Chris Long with 4. Jabal Sheard with 5. Ninkovich with 4. Hightower with 2.5. So not a whole ton of sacks this year. Only 34 in the season, but definitely some pretty consistent pressure. I mean, that's not really a stat you can get. Logan Ryan led the team in tackles.
What?
No, he did.
What? I would have thought. Patty Chung would? No?
Patty Logan Chung Ryan. Had one less. He had nine. Logan Ryan had 92 tackles this season.
Wow. Good for him. For a guy that got demoted.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of 91. Moved him inside to a slot cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Going to pick up more tackles that way.
Yeah, cool. So there's that. Michael Bennett put together a pretty nice season for being injured the entire season.
Wait, who did?
Michael Martellus.
It's ridiculous. I have to start punishing you.
I'm looking at his goddamn name. I don't know what the hell it is. I'm like looking at his name on the screen. Oh, Michael. Something about it. He should have been. You know what? He should have been named Michael, and his brother should have been Marty.
Yeah, you think so?
I think that's what he's a Mikey. No, I don't know. Anyways, Martellus had 55 receptions. I don't even give a shit what I'm saying anymore. Yeah. 700 yards and 7 TDs. Pretty solid.
Marty B.
Hogan slowed down a little bit, only 38 receptions for 680 on the season, 4 TDs. I mean, I feel like 500 of those were before week 10.
Yards per catch, league leader right there.
Hogan?
Hogan led the league, yards per catch.
17.9 is the league leader?
Whoa, no. I have like 19.
The hell are you looking at?
I'm showing like, yeah. Oh, 17.9, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Number one?
Tied with DeSean Jackson.
What's like, well, Gronk, what's the
Gronk is not on this list because I guess he didn't qualify for games played or number of receptions.
He had 21.6 yards per reception.
For a tight end.
That's insane.
Wow.
Over 20.
Unbelievable. That never happens.
No.
That has probably never, ever happened for a tight end.
Yeah, for 20 receptions or 25 receptions or more? Probably
no,
not.
No way. No way. Yeah. So
punts returned for a touchdown. I want to just say that because, you know, maybe it's going to happen in the playoffs.
Oh, you think so?
Kick return, punt return. We haven't had one this year. Or a pick six. Did we have one pick six?
I don't think so.
No. Well, there's a time in the playoffs for that. Get ready, boys.
Here we go. So that'll wrap up the 2016 NFL regular season, and we are down to the good times now.
Mm-hmm. January playoff football, baby.
Everybody kick back, enjoy the wild card games, and we will be back next week to preview the Patriots' first opponent in Foxborough under the lights on Saturday night against either the Dolphins, Raiders, or Texans.
Oh, yeah.
And we will see. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week, and enjoy this weekend of stress-free football watching.
Adios.
See ya.